Shalom, shalom. This is Billy Brimman, the voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Branson, Missouri, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. God gave us an assignment at Prayer Mountain. You need to listen to the past 2 weeks. He told us to pray in a leader. When he established Prayer Mountain, he said, I want you to establish it to pray in the plan of God. I want you to watch. Go on YouTube and pull up Quantum Awakening. Quantum, Quantum Awakenings. And find out about the parallel universe that they have found, which we really know is the realm of eternity and God. We have been looking at the light and how God told us in 1 John 4 that there was a declaration Jesus made that if we would get it, it would allow us to work with him as partners and partakers in the business of God. And the declaration is, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. When God was giving me this revelation, and I went back and I got a sermon that I preached in Brother John Osteen's church in 1984, 27 years ago. And after I watched this Quantum YouTube, and the Lord brought me up again to face the fact that you have to pray things in from another realm. You have to pray them out of that realm and into this realm. You have to believe them from there to here. Jesus has already performed them. God lives in the eternity. They're already there. But you can bring them in by the laws of God. Now, all of this involves light. God is light. And to work with him as a partner and a partaker, you must know about these things. Bless the Lord. So when God was giving me this revelation of light, he pointed out to me that for centuries, men just, they traveled at the speed of a horse or the speed of a boat, wind in the sails. But there was information hidden until the 20th century. In the early 1900s, he began to give revelation about light. And he gave to Edison, of course, the light bulb. Oh, what's come from that? But there was also a Jew at the beginning of this century. God gave great enlightenment concerning light, Albert Einstein. People were quite ignorant of light. He made bad grades in school because he wouldn't give the answers the way the teachers wanted them about light. My daughter was a science teacher at the time, and I asked her to bring me a book, something I could understand about Albert Einstein, and she brought me a third grade science book. Well, I was glad. It seemed a little high for me, but I went through it, and it talked about how as a young boy, he would walk down the streets and he would observe light coming between the buildings, and he noticed things about it that weren't the way the teachers were saying. God was revealing something to him. God reveals these things. God knows them, and he hides them, and then he reveals them. In the year 1906, at the beginning of the 20th century, right when we were having the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that came about with it, right at that time, God was giving Albert Einstein information on light. He gave to the world his time dilation theory. He gave great knowledge on light. Einstein discovered these things. Number one, light is constant. Light is the only constant. Light is the only unchangeable thing. About this time, the Lord caused to come into my hands a tape by a full gospel businessman from California who was a scientist and had been a professor. And he gave the next things that I'm going to share about light. He said Einstein discovered that light is constant, that it's the only constant, that it's the only unchangeable thing, and also light travels. Light travels at the great speed of 186,272 miles per second. If you fired a gun whose bullet traveled at the speed of light, it would travel the circumference of the globe 7 times before you could remove your finger from the trigger. If you walk with God in the light, you'll not be like a turtle. Now, you're going to pretend out there wherever you're listening that you're in a spaceship, and you're going to take a space trip, a 30-day trip. You're going to go out 15 days and come back 15 days. That's 30 days. You're going to travel at approximately 80% the speed of light. You're going to go out and come back, and when you come back, you'll have taken a clock and a calendar with you, and you will have marked off 30 days. You'll be 30 days older, but when you get back, I'm not going with you. I'm staying here on Earth. When you get back, I will be 60 days older. Now we're going to put you back in that spaceship. You're going to take a second trip. You're going to speed up to 90% the speed of light. You're going to go out 15 days, come back 15 days, 30 days. When you come back, you'll be 30 days older, but I will be 10 years older. Now, those were approximates, but now we're going to give you an exact. If you would speed up to 99.279% the speed of light, just enough under it to keep you from disappearing. For Einstein learned that matter cannot travel the speed of light. As soon as it attains the speed of light, it disappears. So we're going to hold you just under the speed of light so you won't disappear. And when you go out, and when you come back, you'll be 30 days older, but Earth will be 30,000 years older. Exactly. These are exact figures. You can divide that down to a simple equation. Divide it by the largest number we can. 30 days, 30,000 years. 30 will go into 30 days one time, and it will go into 30,000 years 1,000 times. And so it gives us the equation, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Exactly the same. And the scientist said, I began to study backwards. He was a non-believer. He was challenged by a student. He taught evolution. The student said, if you teach evolution and Earth is millions of years old and man's been here and evolving and evolving and evolving and evolving, put the factors into the computer and find out how many people could be on Earth. But our Bible tells us that in a certain year, Noah and eight people survived a flood. And he said, put the factors in. So this teacher did. He took the challenge and he found out that if what he was teaching were true, Earth couldn't hold all the people. And he found out if he put the eight souls in there and the, all the factors they knew, he came out with exactly the population of Earth. So he said, I began to study backwards. I knew the things we know from science, and I looked for them in the Word of God. And he said, Einstein's theory of relativity, the theory of time dilation theory, is exactly in the Bible, and it is in 1 Timothy, and it is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I believe it is, 16. I have it here somewhere, and I have it not for you right now. I'm finding it. Hold on there. Bless the Lord. Here, I found it. 1 Timothy 6. We'll start with verse 14. Because Einstein discovered that if you could travel the speed of light, strange things would happen. You would live forever. You would be immortal. But you would disappear to sight here on this earth. And so he said, I found that in 1 Timothy 6, where it says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 15, in his times he shall show or shine forth the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto. He dwells there, and that is the time dilation theory. Brother Hagin said, when science discovered timelessness, they discovered eternity and God. And Brother Hagin prophesied that the realms of God's knowledge in the scientific world and then the knowledge of the world that we're in, the knowledge of quantum mechanics. So in that other realm, they have discovered that everything can be reduced to light, both here and there, and that we are connected with there. Even though we're here, we can't even be there. And so this explains so many things in the Word of God. It explains translation. Philip was found 20 miles away. All God had to do was speed him up. In the room with me today is my grandson, Brandon. And Brandon has had a translation experience that I want him to tell you about. Brandon, please tell that.
Okay, well,
you're 22, right?
I'm 22 years old. And basically, all I can say is I laid down, and next thing you know, I was in a room. I knew it was a hotel room. I could describe to you what the hotel room looked like. I remember I was standing by the door. Straight in front of me was a couch. And then to the right of the couch was a desk. And there was a office chair there. And then I remember looking to the right, and there was like two double beds, TV, and I remember they had the blinds open. And I knew I was in a different country. And the first thing that happened was there was this guy who was dressed really religiously, like Muslim attire, and he started saying a prayer. And when he did, you could really feel like a dark presence in my natural body kind of wanted to leave. I just wanted to get out of that place. But kind of like my spiritual self calm, I had a peace there, you know, like God was, you know, everything's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. And then after that, after the prayer, one of the guys gets up and says, "Here's the plan." And he throws out some cell phones, like on this little bench still. And he named off these cell phones, and they're prepaid phones, he said. And he said, "They won't be able to track us this way." He said, "This is what's going on. We got two girls in Tokyo, and they're going to be getting on a plane heading to LA, and we're going to blow it up."
Now, he said cricket, and you didn't know
cricket. I didn't know what cricket. He said, "These are cricket phones." I didn't really know what those were. I never heard of those. So when I woke up or whatever, I Googled what it was, and it said Cricket, a leading prepaid cell phone company in the world or whatever.
Know that this was Al-Qaeda? How did you know?
Just how they were talking. I remember they talked. I just had a sense that they were Al-Qaeda.
All right. So he came and he told me about it, and it was just before Thanksgiving, and our family, we knew this had to be taken to prayer. And so our family at prayer and at Thanksgiving time, such a spirit of prayer. I don't remember, Brandon, such a spirit of prayer ever coming on our family before like that.
Right.
Because we knew this thing could be stopped. It could be stopped by prayer. And even the kids started prophesying, you know, in there and moving. But we knew by the time it was over that we had it, that it was stopped, this plan. But the thing that was remarkable was that God had translated Brandon. And then when Brandon came back, what did you tell about what you found?
I found a coin in my pocket, which I was kind of just flipping it. I looked and I knew it was from a different country. I was like, whoa, first one I showed was Mimi and a couple of her friends, and we did some research and we found out it was from Thailand. It was called a Thai baht, is what they call it.
And we found out then that there's quite a lot of terrorist activity in Thailand. But what we wanted to say to you was he was translated. This quantum realm, this light, this speed of light. Now, and we got the thing settled. There will be more and more things like this happening. But this is what we want to say about praying in a leader. We can pray in things, and you have to. If God knows to do good and he doesn't do it, then something's wrong. And he wants us to pray in a leader out from that quantum realm, which is the realm of the eternal, and into this realm. Won't you please join us? This is Billy Brim saying Shabbat Shalom.